her bachelor fairy tale.
I love you.
Crashed straight to the ground.
I love somebody more.
I trust in you.
ABC Monday, May 23rd. JoJo is back.
I'm the new bachelorette.
I'm the boss right now.
JoJo!
And she's rewriting her happy ending.
Bring on the men.
The Bachelorette, season premiere Monday, May 23rd at a special time, 9, 8 Central on ABC.
Hey, what's up, AfterBuzzers? This is Joe Doyle with AfterBuzzTV.com. We're talking Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Season 2, Episodes 9 and 10. Kimmy meets a drunk girl, and Kimmy goes to a happy place. We can't wait to get in with you. See you soon.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, crank that.
Unbreakable.
What's up, AfterBuzzTV.com? We're back with a couple more episodes of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. My name is Joe Doyle. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all at JoJo Doyle. And let me introduce my awesome co-host. Take it away, guys.
James A. Janice. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at James A. Janice and on YouTube at Practical Folks.
I'm Annabelle DeSisto, and you can find me on Twitter at AnnabelleLee417.
Now, folks, we are talking two episodes, episode 9 and 10. The first one we're going to jump into is Kimmy meets a drunk girl. And the drunk girl is Tina Fey.
That's right.
Just jump right into that right now. All of my dreams, all of my hopes have finally been realized. Tina Fey has come to the show.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite episode of the season so far, largely because of Tina Fey.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, my Tina, because she is my god, so that's how I say it.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't come in until a little bit middle of the episode. We start out with Titus, who has quit his job now, it seems like. Or is that just me making that up?
Oh, no, he quit his job.
Okay, yeah, he definitely quit his job, and now he has a new goal to try and get a tape tower to hold more cassette tapes.
I love how Titus's goals are just things that, you know, you normally just accomplish in an afternoon.
Yeah, but he has to, like, set aside time to make sure that he can attempt to do it. Not even do it, just make an attempt to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he goes and sets out to try and get a tape cassette holder, and they find out that they're no longer sold anywhere.
Yeah.
So he's kind of screwed because it turns out he is going to have to take an entire day to do this. Or at least, I mean, if he had the internet, he could have gone to the library and he could have researched it. But he's going on a new quest to try and get this blast from the past.
Yeah, because they have all these cassettes of, what is it? I Can't Believe It's Not Music?
Now,
yeah.
Is it Now That's What Sounds Like Music?
Something
like,
is that what it is? Okay.
Now That Sounds Like Music.
Yeah.
And it was insane because, like, I thought maybe they'd hit us with, like, one or two. The entire episode was filled with those songs, which were fun.
Yeah, there were like four or five of them, and I always love a good parody song.
Definitely.
You know, grew up listening to Weird Al, so.
Yes, it was very Weird Al. Yeah. Guys, did you know that Tina Fey, that's her husband?
Yeah.
He's a composer. Like, I already know that. But for me, I was like a Reading Rainbow, like Shooting Star and More You Know moment.
Yeah, he does all the music for this show and for 30 Rock. Like, they sound very similar, the music in those two shows. Lots of horns, and yeah, that's her husband doing it.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
That's really cool. And it was so great because, speaking of Tina Fey, she comes in. The other story that's going on is that Kimmy picks up Uber fare, who happens to be uber drunk.
Oh.
Andrea. Synergy. super drunk Andrea. And she's just this random crazy lady that gets in her car and tries to give her a life lesson. We don't know why, but every drunk person gives life lessons. So we just kind of think it's that. To tell Kimmy that she should value her needs more because she's a pushover and enabler. And it kind of sticks with Kimmy. It really does. Like, and she starts to kind of figure out, okay, I'm going to stand up to Titus. And goes back to Titus, and it gets crazy. Kimmy starts yelling, and
because
and
he wouldn't let her shower, because he had his Barbies in there to give them a perm.
Oh no, I agree. It was completely warranted, but you know, it was just a side of Kimmy that we hadn't really seen before.
Sometimes you need to do your Barbie's hair, man.
I was like, I was on Titus's side, but
yeah,
you know,
I get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's share the space, you know. And like, I think that both, you know, like, get the Barbies could do their thing, maybe in the toilet.
That's no place for a Barbie.
No.
That's not respectful.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Mattel. My bad. But they get into this big fight, and Kimmy starts to realize that she has a complex because she finds out that Andrea is a therapist.
Yeah. That was a great reveal because Tina Fey was so good at just being a drunk, like, party girl, even though, you know, she's a middle-aged woman. It was so funny from, like, yeah, Malala.
And, that was great.
Talking about Dursting, which I found it funny that she brought up the Jinx when Robert Durst was, like, a character earlier on in the season. But the funniest part of that was that she said it was Fred Durst who did it, who is, of course, the lead singer of Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
So I just like to imagine Fred Durst being like, yeah, I killed them all.
He must be so excited that he got, like, referenced.
Yeah.
It's the first time in, like, what, 10 years?
I saw him a few months ago in a restaurant, and then
Was he your waiter?
No, but he was sat next to me, and I felt bad about myself for going to the same restaurant that Fred Durst goes to.
Yeah, that's sad.
He did have a hat on.
I actually grew up through those times trying to rock the Fred Durst because I was kind of the same like build as him, and I had the goatee.
Oh no!
And I would put my hat backwards, and yeah, I rocked it.
Oh no, man!
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'll admit that I listened to Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water, but I never tried to emulate his style.
Oh well, people started saying that I looked like him, and I was like,
So you went all Durst chic?
Yeah.
All right,
I got all Dursty.
Ew.
But during this like initial, when we find out that Kimmy has a complex of being in control of her own body, we see all of these great little vignettes, these moments of her going batshit crazy on these people.
Yeah.
My favorite moment was another cameo. These two episodes were just filled with cameos because Billy Eichner from Billy on the Street.
Yes.
Like he comes in for a dollar, tell me, and then he's like. I thought that was hilarious. And he said she just beats the crap out of him and then runs off. Which I'm surprised it doesn't happen more, but I guess they wouldn't air it.
Oh, yeah.
But, and they probably have high security. But
they'd probably cut that out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But then Kimmy, so once she has this knowledge, it kind of loosens the fasteners a little bit. Mm. And it starts to kind of break things down and kind of roll down a hill, a little momentum, and she goes nuts. And she freaks out and ends up in Coney Island on a ride.
Yeah.
And that was pretty wild. She just kind of all of a sudden realizes, like, what... Like, her world was completely turned upside down.
Yeah, I love the ride attendant. Yeah, you rode it all by yourself. I didn't do anything.
Yeah. And it was crazy because, like, on The Bachelor, Ben told JoJo he loved her. And her fairy tale ending crashed straight to the ground, world upside down, when he said he loved someone else more and sent her away with a broken heart. Oh, it was the most dramatic Bachelor finale ever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, been there, done that. ABC, Monday, May 23rd, JoJo is back as the new Bachelorette. The stunning fan fave from Texas is leaving her heartbreak behind and going from Ben to 26 new men, all hoping to be the one to make her happily ever after finally come true. Are the guys here for the right reasons? Will they make a connection and will JoJo finally get the happy ending she always wanted? The surprises start night one, as the guys try to grab her attention right out of the limo and get that coveted first impression rose. Now, a new epic journey of romance, man tears, and drama is about to begin. The Bachelorette premieres at a special time, Monday, May 23rd, 9, 8 Central on ABC. I just want to throw that in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, both of these women's worlds are completely turned upside down when they're starting to realize that what they originally believed in isn't necessarily true.
Yeah.
And we cut to, of course, when she kind of realizes what's going on, back to Titus, which he had an ingenious idea once he realized that these things are in the past. And he goes, how do I go back in time? I know. And he has the idea to go to the landfill to start digging. And it was ingenious. I'm going to admit, I wanted to go and do that.
Yeah, you wanted to join Titus on his time traveling trip?
Yeah, and dig through the garbage. I really did. I thought...
Well, good news. You can still do that.
That's true, yeah. You can just do it on your own.
Yeah, they actually pay people to do that, and you're willing to do it for free.
No. So.
I'm good, I think. But when I first saw it, I was like, that's pretty smart. That's pretty ingenious. Yeah. I wonder what you could find.
It was such a funny... That whole scene was so funny. Just, I mean, so much of the show's humor is relying on references to the 90s, since that's when Kimmy was abducted. So that's all her reference points. And I just like that they have such a wide range of 90s references that they can pull out. And just like running into the Furby.
I love that.
Yeah,
the Furby. And he's like, it's still alive! Hey,
kill me! So like he puts it out like a dog. And then the Sugar Ray like magazine cover where it's like, even I know this isn't going to last. That got a huge laugh out of me.
Oh yeah.
And I just love, like even as, and the other thing that the show is really great at is character-specific humor. And I think a great example of that is the fact that he uses a makeup brush as like an archaeology dig tool. Like, just those little moments like that show that the writers really know both like the source material that they're or like the reference pool that they're drawing from and the characters that they're writing. And I just really appreciate that.
I completely agree with you 100%. They're really using like every single trick, like everything that they have, those characters have available to them. They somehow sneak it in, and it's so detailed, and that's why I like shows like this, and I like shows like The Simpsons. You know, because they embed so many jokes that after the first watching, you got to watch it again and you're going to see more new things pop up and more references that you didn't catch because you were laughing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little power struggle between drunk Andrea and we find out she has an alter ego.
I love this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing for this character. It's so awesome how... just how different they are, and it gives Tina Fey a chance to really play two different characters, essentially, not only in behavior but in appearance too. Like one of them is hair down and like really dolled up Tina Fey and like looking really good, and the other is like classic Liz Lemon type glasses, kind of nerdy doctor look.
Yeah,
and there's such a disconnect to them that she has to like record messages to herself because she doesn't remember.
I thought that was brilliant. Have you guys ever done that before? Like, giving a message to, like, you drunk you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I did it in college. If I was going out partying and I knew I had, like, a paper I had to write the next day, and it was due the next day, I would write a note on my pillow and say, don't go to bed until you write this paper.
Did it work?
I would get an A. It was a theater class, but I would get A's.
That's not a class.
Okay, true. But I still got A's. This was a tough professor, and I still got A's on every one of the... No, actually, not everyone.
No.
But the drunkest that I was, that's the one I got an A on.
Good job.
See, I don't get drunk. I just will, like, carb load. I'll eat something like really late at night, and then I'll online shop. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, I have no idea what this is. And it's because... sugar high meat.
Maybe you should try. Yeah, maybe you should try writing notes to sugar high you.
Just lock up my laptop. That's what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And so they're starting to go back and forth because sober Andrea says there's boundaries, and she can't treat her. But then drunk Andrea finally figures out how to do things, and she decides to blackmail. Drunk Andrea blackmails sober Andrea with Kimmy, and it's brilliant because it's the only way that I think that it would actually work is if she had something on her.
Yeah, and I love that just in that that video that she records when she has Kimmy say a swear word, Kimmy's like frown.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry.
yeah, and then apologizes for it.
Like Kimmy's in, yeah, like the fact that she's like so susceptible to, you know, like influences, but at the same time, like completely naive. Oh, it's just great. It's a really, it builds for a lot of fun drama, well, comedy through the drama of them figuring it out. Because this is also a really effed up episode, too, when we start to figure out what's going on with Kimmy. You know what I mean? Like, I started to think that, wow, we're seeing the reality side of being abducted and how messed up it could make someone.
Yeah.
But based in this incredibly, like, fake, grandiose, you know, outlandish way.
Yeah, and I mean, this show has been dropping hints of that this whole season, like with, you know, the PTSD analogy, when she was with the vet and the...
Burping.
The oh.
Right? Isn't it like...
Oh, yeah, she's like burping up, like...
And I was like, wait, am I insane? Bursting. Okay.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
No, you watch the same show as us. but yeah, or like hitting Dong with the telephone, and I like that all that built to something.
Yeah, yeah.
And because the only people she attacks are men.
Mm-hmm.
Who, yeah,
who are getting
physical
close to
with her. Yeah, yeah, in one way or another. And then, so they finally realize what's going on. They come to an agreement that she's going to treat Kimmy. So this is exciting because we're going to start to see more and more about the bunker now in these sessions, I would imagine.
And more Tina Fey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we find out that Titus decides, he gets a tape tower. He finds the tape tower because he tried to make one. Horrible, horrible results. So he finally finds a tape tower, and they threw in one last joke to this, which I thought was so funny, of him running really slow. That
Sorry,
was great.
I'm a slow runner.
Yeah. And then she's like, okay.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. And so they both kind of meet their goals for the episode, and they kind of hug, and now we have two great storylines that we're going to continue.
Yeah, it was a triumphant episode, and I think it was really, if you noticed, there was no Lillian. There was no Jacqueline. It was just Titus on his own. And then there was some intersection with Kimmy, but it was just Kimmy and Tina Fey. And it was just such a tight episode. And Tina Fey's character was so, so funny. Just so hilarious. It definitely was my favorite episode.
That was my favorite. Yeah. By far. And I just like love Titus. I'm like, oh, it's sad like how much I relate to him, because I've literally said some of those lines when he's like, nobody's offered me a job in my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, so that's me. Right, or when she Titus? Like, because he gives up on everything. He's like, she's wrong. I don't give up on whatever.
Yeah, he can't even finish a sentence.
Yeah.
And I really like Kimmy as an Uber driver. And, if all that did is lead to Tina Fey as, like, a plot mechanism, I'm fine with that because Tina Fey's character is so awesome. But I would like to see more of her as an Uber driver because it's so fun. And I like how it's just one of my favorite examples of the kinds of jokes that the show does is when she's leaving in the morning, she mentions the types of people that she drives early on. And it includes, like, fishermen who are late for the job and girls leaving John Mayer's house. And then I love how later she's driving a fisherman. She's like, oh, late for work? And he's like, yeah, John Mayer didn't make it any better. So yeah. It's like he was coming from John Mayer's house.
I want to know what writer was blown off by John Mayer, because they've made so many John Mayer references.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such an easy target, though,
yeah,
he's
kind of gross.
Yeah, I saw him perform live totally unexpectedly at the Hotel Cafe one time. And I mean, I gotta admit, I'm a John Mayer fan. I'm a big fan. He has done some shady things, but you know, I gotta love him.
I mean, I went on the Mayer Craft, which was just a cruise of John Mayer fans that he performed on. Proud. That was in 2008.
Was his face on the side of the boat?
No, it should have been. But he did perform. He was wearing that Borat Speedo, the green one.
Nice.
So, I mean, it was well worth the ticket price.
Yeah, that sounds exactly.
Did David Ryan Harris perform on the Mayercraft as well?
No.
Oh, okay, that's his background band when he goes on tour is David Ryan Harris.
Oh, okay.
And his band, and they're awesome.
Isn't right now he playing with Grateful Dead, I think?
I think
he's touring. Yeah. But I find the funniest part of that is that when they tour, it's not just like Grateful Dead. It's like Grateful Dead with John Mayer. Like, they don't allow him to be an honorary member of Grateful Dead. They're like, no, you can play with us, but like, you're still just your own thing. All right.
I respect Grateful Dead for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like,
right.
You're
not going to sully the Dead name. With
John
Mayer.
I'm a Deadhead, and I would feel really conflicted if all of a sudden, I'm like, I like John Mayer and I like the Dead, but oh, crap.
I mean, if I heard a Grateful Dead song, I would assume it's like one of those fake songs on Kimmy Schmidt. I have no idea what they sing. But I did love the last fake song they had, the I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
I'm convinced I can swim.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that I have a fin.
And she's like, it's from that great movie, Earth Jelly, instead of Space Jam. And I was like, oh.
That's what it was. I was like, wait, what's that a reference to? And then I just didn't pursue it further in my brain because I moved on to the next episode.
I mean, it's one of my favorite movies, so.
Space Jam is?
Came right to the top of my head.
I don't know.
Space Jam is, it's a good one.
It's a horrible movie, actually.
Oh, whoa.
If you guys watch it as an adult, it's a
controversial opinion.
Horrible movie.
I want to take a moment to defend Sean Bradley's performance in that film. Amazing.
I don't think you can defend any performance in that film.
Sean Bradley, Larry Johnson, Grandmama, they did awesome. I'm just saying. That was like the height of my basketball loving was back then. So, they could do no wrong.
And it just made you like flash back to the time when we like loved R. Kelly before he peed on that 13-year-old.
Yeah.
You're like, oh. It was good times.
In fact, you know what? I'm saying so much good times. I'm just gonna go to my happy place, just like Kimmy did in the second episode, episode 10. Let's do it.
Nice. Good transition, man.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Mikey, we find out. It starts out with Mikey and Titus. I love it. Their relationship is adorable. And just it's just great to see them grow together each episode. Even just a little bit. It's kind of fun. And we find out that Mikey can't do this any longer. He must come out to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that I imagine that could be pretty stressful. When I was in college in my fraternity, one of my fraternity brothers came out to me, and we were just hanging out, like, playing video games, and he's like, "Hey, Joe, I'm gay." And I was like, "Cool, man. It's your turn." Like, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. And I think that he was kind of expecting there to be more of a reaction, and that's what is getting Titus all riled up, is he's anticipating all this great drama of his boyfriend coming out to his, you know, Catholic Italian family.
Well, is it that, or is it that he wanted to use that opportunity to be the center of attention again, and then he's robbed of that as well? Because, as much as Titus does seem to care about Mikey, because obviously they're still together this far into the season, which I'm pleasantly surprised at, but he still always thinks of Titus first and foremost. It was like when they were playing charades, and, you know, Lillian, for whatever reason, is just on a Pac-Man fix, but all of Titus's guests are like, Titus is talking. Like, they're all about himself.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know how he plays charades, but I don't think that's how you win.
No, I don't think so either. But, yeah, I totally agree with you, because, and we start to find that out later on when Mikey is starting to realize that Titus is kind of bummed out when they go to this dinner.
Yeah.
And it kind of comes out that he didn't have an opportunity to come out to his own family and have that moment to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole dinner, because I'm Italian, Sicilian.
Oh, so am I.
Okay, yeah.
I'm also Italian.
Okay, so
are we just a bunch of...
Oh my God, it's a whole Guido.
I think we are, yeah. And so,
a lot of vowels in this panel.
I'm sure you guys all know, with, you know, families growing up, it can get pretty nuts at the dinner table. And, I mean, I know it's not like I was from New York, you know, Italian family, but it still got pretty wild and pretty loud. And I thought that this was so funny how they freaked out about food, because that's why I'm fat, is because I got instilled in a very young age to manja, to keep eating.
For and whatever, if you're celebrating something, you eat. If you're sad about something, you eat.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I got Eggo waffles because my grandma used to always ask me if I wanted an Eggo waffle when I came in to visit. And I was like, I'm in the mood for some grandma waffles. And so it was totally like that. And they started freaking out. And I love that moment when Titus goes, "This is just over food."
Yeah.
He's so stoked. He's so excited to see what actually goes down. And while this is going on, we start to figure out what Lillian is on her gentrification fix once again.
Of course, always.
And she's starting to realize that she's not as hardcore as she originally once was.
Yeah, and, you know, lots of Lillian storylines just kind of fall flat for me, and this was one of them. And I don't know, just because I don't think they ever gave a good reason for why all these people were being so pleasant to her, unless I missed it. But, you know, like,
it's just like that she's old and people are like, oh, okay, old people say crazy stuff all the time.
Okay,
but
yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, it was the same joke every time.
Yeah, they were kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, old lady, we feel sorry for you. Go ahead and go on. That's what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know that the show is absurdist comedy, and I'm fine with that. I don't need everything to be, like, realistic. But sometimes just a joke is less funny to me if I react to it as, like, that didn't make a lot of sense. Like,
right.
You know, like a police officer letting her into a construction site or...
Yeah, that was pretty random. That was funny. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean. I totally get that. And it was true. It was kind of like out of left field. And it took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
To go, oh, that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like it wasn't really just explained that well.
Yeah.
I don't know. All points of it.
I don't know how... I'm 34. And I'm starting to hit that age where more people are calling me sir out in, you know, public and everything, the strangers and everything. And it kind of throws me off. Because, I mean, in a less scale, I feel like I could relate to Lillian going, oh, wait, now all these people are like, you know, kids are going, oh, look at that old, you know, like that old square, ha, 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 you know, and all that kind of stuff.
No, yeah. It is terrible. Like, when people call me ma'am, I'm like, well, I am going to go bawl my eyes out, and then I will be back to kick your ass. I think that's the meanest thing you can call someone.
Oh, really?
Are you fine with someone saying miss? Like if they're trying to get your attention or
I mean,
like,
I'd rather them be like, happy birthday, you just turned 19, right? But if they don't say that, I guess miss is fine.
I'm just thinking about like a professional setting where it's like, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, miss, ma'am?
Or you're saying or pretty, no to you ma'am. Know.
Yeah.
But yeah, ma'am is, ugh, it's like a knife to the heart.
I feel like ma'am is also more south or southern.
Yeah, I could hear that.
Maybe. Just
ma'am.
Yeah, ma'am. Not like saying you're old, but just like that's just the vernacular that they used. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not from the South, so this is all based on that.
Unfortunately, I am. I'm from Florida, and I loved their Florida reference.
Oh, yes.
That everywhere besides Disney World is the unhappiest place on Earth.
It's true.
I don't frequent Florida, but that's the impression I get.
There's no need to, trust me.
I know. My sister actually just moved there, and I'm like, why?
Ooh, yikes.
Why?
Is
why
she
would you do that?
Dying eight-year-old? Why
no,
is...
No, I don't know why. Like, she just wants... she hates cold weather. And like, when I told her it was, like, low 70s here, she freaked out, because right now it's, like, 90 there.
I mean, it's God's waiting room. I don't know why you would move, but...
I don't know. All those bugs and humidity. No, thank you.
Well, and so we can all agree that people from Florida are also kind of a little bit nuts, right?
Yeah.
Need a little
obviously,
bit of therapy.
Obviously, I mean, look at me.
Well, I wasn't going there.
No, but I mean, crazy. Every insane news story that's embarrassing, you're like, why? How is that? It's all from Florida.
Always.
Well, and so during these therapy sessions to kind of delve into this craziness that Kimmy's dealing with, she starts to get positive reinforcement by getting these little stickers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious because... I'm a big collector that if someone said that to me, I'd be like, done. Give me all the stickers possible. You know, like in Boy Scouts, I wanted all the merit badges and everything. And so I thought that was pretty hilarious. But my favorite part of this episode comes when we realize what her happy place is.
Oh, the animated song and dance number. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Because we didn't see it at first. We just saw her just kind of go and then fix it. Which I thought was a great setup because when we finally did see it, it was really creepy but also hilarious.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of that was the second time that she goes there and everything goes wrong. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that's John Hamm's voice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For whatever reason, they're going through, like, painstakingly avoiding showing his face even when he was in the van, which I'm guessing they just got a random actor to do him because it's so in shadow that why would you waste John Hamm's face? His beautiful, beautiful face.
It's a true. Shame.
And he was just credited on IMDb as just voice.
Just voice?
Yeah, just okay. Voiceover.
It was in parentheses. Yeah, voice. Same thing with Lisa Kudrow, who played the fairy godmother.
Oh, that's who it was. I knew the voice sounded familiar.
Oh my god, the more you know. I see. I did not.
Does that mean... Wait, Lisa Kudrow's not old enough to play her mom, is she?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, we can figure it out. How old is this? Well,
I mean, do people call her ma'am? I need to figure out.
because you figure, like, I mean, I imagine that Lisa Kudrow is... Or at least plays around the same age as Jacqueline, as Jane.
Mm.
And so, I mean, maybe it might be like maybe a young mom or maybe they can age her up a little bit. But I don't know. It would be interesting because that was the voice. And we find out later that the fairy godmother is a personification of her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing we're going to see her mom maybe probably this season. But if not this season, then definitely next season. Like,
yeah.
You don't just like set that up. Have we ever met her parents?
We met her dad last season, right?
Yeah, Kimmy. Remember that one?
That was her dad, or was that her
stepdad? No, that was no. They weren't related at all because he was no. Was it stepdad?
Or he was the cop boyfriend of the mom.
Yes, that's
so
what it was.
So have we met the mom then, or no?
I don't. Oh,
I don't know.
If you guys remember, go ahead and chat us up on Twitter. Let us know. We'll do our due diligence here in a little bit.
Tina Fey was his lawyer last season, or her lawyer.
Yeah, I forget whose lawyer she was, but she was Marcia Clark from the OJ trial.
That's right, that's right, yeah.
It was a great parody of that.
I like that they showed her, that sounds bad. I was going to say, I like that they showed her getting abducted, but I always want to know like how...
You got to see the origin story. Yeah,
for sure.
And the ridiculousness that it went down. It's like, no, I cannot tell you where it is.
Stranger.
But I can show you. Yeah. Get in the van.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny. And once they realize that this is going on with her happy place, her woodland creatures destroy everything.
It was
and,
so great.
And oh gosh, it was like in woodland. Yeah, the Woodland Critter Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good episode too. And so we find out that now her storyline is, I imagine, to be to deal with this and to try and confront her mom. We got to see her mom. I mean, like, we've taken two episodes of her getting treatment, and we've come to the first breakthrough, which gets the sticker with the astronaut on it, which I thought was great.
The best one.
Yeah, definitely the best one. She's like, I want that one, but, you know, no big deal. and so I feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like it is. But then again, I also feel like, well, I don't know, but we'll talk about that in predictions, because there's another thing with Lillian, her storyline.
Yeah, before we move on, I would just like to say that Tina Fey makes a point about the movie Tangled, and as a Disney aficionado, I fully agree with that point about Tangled. What's up with that? Why does the hair have to turn brunette and lose its magic after you cut it? Is that saying blondes are better and more magical? I don't know. I don't like it.
I agree. 100%.
And then they're making a Tangled TV show where Rapunzel and Flynn are together, but Rapunzel has the long blonde hair, and that doesn't make sense.
What?
That
did the lizard make it in?
Pascal, probably. He's a favorite.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, I will Don't be worry. Outraged.
Oh, no. Pascal will be there. But she has the long blonde hair again. That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
No, that's a good point.
I have to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. It sounded like it was eating away at you. And
it was. You know, I'm just trying to go sleep at night, but that just eats at me. So I'm glad I could get it out in a public atmosphere.
That's what you go to therapy for.
Exactly, yeah.
AfterBuzz is our therapy. So I totally agree with you. I think that Disney can mess up some people from time to time. Because I also grew up watching a lot of Disney stuff. And I feel like that sometimes my chivalry of these princes sometimes makes me a little too passive with the ladies.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. A little internal thing, yeah. But no, I agree. They can mess you up. They can mess you up.
These Disney kissing girls while they're asleep? What do you mean?
No, I don't know. I don't do that.
Because that's not consent.
No, and I know. Trust me. I know.
All right.
Trust me. I've had the court cases. I know by now. I've learned.
And so Lillian, in her crazy, I'm going to take down the establishment and gentrification, decides to handcuff herself to the construction equipment, which I feel like it's going to be just in passing. Like, I think it would be a really funny gag if all of a sudden, like in the next episode, we just see her like running away with like some like piece of the, you know, being chased by the cops with some piece of construction equipment.
Yeah.
Just kind of as like, we don't really need to explore that, but let's get a little...
Because that was the last time we see her in this episode, right?
Right. I think it just cuts after they lock themselves up.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I mean, that's one storyline where I don't need it to be a two-parter.
Right.
I don't know why they're extending
it. I know this sounds bad. I would really just like to see her in scenes with Kimmy or Titus. Like, I don't need a lone scene. Like...
I agree. Yeah,
we're not watching it for her. No,
I think she's fab.
I love Carol Kane, and I think she's really funny, and I like that she's seemingly down for whatever. But whenever Lillian's by herself, I don't really care.
Yeah,
I pair her up with Jackie again. That was great.
Well, see, here's what I think is Lillian and her deal. It's like we literally are getting three different age groups of women. And their experiences in New York and dealing with aging and change, like, and so.
Are you saying Kimmy, Andrea, and Lillian?
Well, no, Kimmy, Jacqueline.
Oh.
And okay. You know, because Andrea too a little bit, but like, yeah, Kimmy, Jacqueline.
Good point.
And
sorry, I forgot about Jacqueline because she wasn't in either of these.
Yeah, she totally wasn't. Which is
lose anything. If anything, these were two of my favorite episodes.
I don't know. The second one was one of my least favorites, actually.
Really? When Titus dumped out the empty box of butterflies that were all dead?
That was classic.
That was funny. But the end of that Titus storyline just didn't work for me at all. Where, like, the cops show up and all of a sudden they're racist cops, right?
Yeah,
and then he, like, goes on that speech.
Yeah, I didn't know if, like, my computer skipped a scene or what.
It was another thing that just felt unexplained.
Yeah, you know? Well, because I think that the guy, the racist neighbor, called the cops, and so the cops just assumed that guy was doing something bad because the racist guy said something.
Yeah.
And then, but it was a little, like, I totally know what you mean. I wanted more time with it.
Yeah, and then the payoff wasn't enough for me either. Like, the speech Like, it was just all non sequiturs, and we've seen that before, like, Titus just being dramatic, and, like, now he has this, like, frilly thing around his neck, and now he's, like, disappearing in a puff of smoke, and it just, it wasn't new or, like, clever enough for me to overlook the totally random generation of that. Like, it was so weird.
Yeah.
I was like, this makes no sense. I was like, the puppet as the grandmother makes more sense.
Than that was great. And that one, I don't know how I felt about that. I do like that they called it out. How Tyson was like, is that a person? And Mikey's like, if it is, it'll kill her. So that kind of saves it for me. But yeah, I don't know. This episode wasn't one of my favorites. It was a letdown after the previous one, for sure.
Yeah.
That previous one was so great.
The first one was really good. I really liked this because I loved the dinner scene, and I wanted to see more, and like, and then his brother that was obviously gay.
Yeah. If touching boobs makes you gay.
yeah, exactly. That was a good line, too.
Yeah, the dinner scene was great.
Yeah. I really wanted to see more of that freak out and see, and I almost, well, no, I guess it was good that they didn't freak out that Titus was, I thought they were going to freak out at Titus just being black and gay.
Oh, yeah, they could have done that angle.
Yeah, but I think it was really refreshing and also very funny because I didn't expect what happened, that they were totally cool with it, and he's like, well, if our gay pope is okay with it, then I guess I have to be okay with it, too. Yeah. Like, that makes sense. That's a brilliant means to an end, yeah. So we're leaving this episode still with Kimmy making a huge breakthrough, realizing that she has mom issues. And she's going to have to start to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Titus with an openly gay boyfriend now. So they're going to explore that a little bit more. And Lillian is locked to construction. So that brings us to the big question. What do you think comes next? So let's check out predictions.
Norton.
There it is. Yeah.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Yeah. So do you guys have any predictions or what you want to see? It doesn't necessarily have to be what you think might happen, but what you want to see happen.
I think we'll see her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got her.
Think it's going to be Lisa Kudrow?
That'd be great. It would make sense, considering that she voiced the fairy in the cartoon.
Yeah.
I'd be so excited for that.
Yeah, and I like Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, I love her. I love Lisa Kudrow.
I wonder if it's going to be Mikey's construction site that she's locked. That she's handcuffed to.
Oh, that would make sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
That's a great prediction. I didn't think about that, but yeah, that, and then that would bring the entire group together, and then that's going to put strain on Titus and Mikey's relationship because, you know, Titus isn't going to bail on Lillian.
Or would he?
Could put strain on his living arrangements. So that's, yeah, okay.
As a frequent cosplayer, I would love to see ConCon, the construction convention. You know, and that'd be awesome.
See everyone, like, dressed up as different, like, construction workers from movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, they'd just be all dressed the same. And it's like, what are you from? And it's like, oh, I'm from, you know, 1987, an officer and, you know, construction man or something like that.
Is that a background Dark Knight costume? Yeah.
Got it. That would be funny. That would be really funny. That'd be great.
There you go. You can have the idea for free, writers of Kimmy Schmidt.
Boom. Yeah. I think that I'm predicting that they're going to be... there's going to be a moment when Jacqueline realizes that Kimmy's getting therapy and she's not as malleable, you know, as Jacqueline wants her to be.
Mm.
So I think there's going to be a confrontation between Jacqueline and Tina Fey and Andrea. Yeah, yeah, because
that'd be great.
And the reunion of them getting together because they were such great comedic foils on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really exciting scene if it happens.
And I don't remember a lot of season one. I'm sorry, people that are watching this. But did Tina Fey and Ellie Kemper interact that much at all in season one, like during the court scenes?
Very little.
Yeah, I didn't think they did. And I really like seeing them together in these episodes. And I know that Ellie Kemper has to be really excited about it because I know that she loves Tina Fey and idolizes her. And I mean, obviously, like, who doesn't? And to not only be in her show, but to have all these scenes and plots where it's just the two of them together must be so thrilling for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so cute.
It is. And we only have three more episodes of cuteness until this season is done. Some of you might have binge-watched, but for us, I'm still haven't gone ahead.
I have not.
So, I've been really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we got three more to do. Where is it going to go? What they're going to leave hanging? Because I believe they've already been picked up for a third season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so they're already jumping right into it. How is Ellie Kemper's pregnancy going to go into the show? Mm. Are they going to wait? How long until we get another season? All these questions I'm hoping that we get to answer in the next couple episodes or in the next couple weeks. But if not, keep tuning in to AfterBuzzTV.com. Don't forget to go to us on YouTube and subscribe. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to comment if you enjoy the show. If you don't comment. Or make up something good anyways. No. But go on there and check that out. Guys, tell us where we can find you online once again.
On Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at James A. Janice, and on YouTube at Practical Folks.
You can find me on Instagram at Annabelle DeSisto.
And shout out to James. He did a really good Game of Thrones parody about some Dornish wine tasting. Check that out at his spot. You can find me at JoJo Doyle everywhere around town. Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. AfterBuzzTV.com. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt After Show. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.